Keith here from Lewis Jewelers. It's a new year and time for you to get some new cash for all your old, unwanted jewelry. We are your trusted store to turn those items into immediate cash. Stop in today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Stephen Donnelly, another politician, he's not on the show today, but he did announce he wants to extend the free contraception scheme to 16-year-olds. Saoirse Hanley is with me, audience editor and columnist at The Independent. Saoirse, is this a good idea?
I think yes. Like, you know, straight off the bat, I think it is, because like the scheme so far with its current iteration of 17 to 35 has been hugely successful. Like Donnelly came out earlier in the week and said that I think there's about a 50% take up. It's been really successful. It's, you know, provided lots of, you know, like a lot of the problems with the access to contraception before this scheme is that the cost is prohibitive for a lot of people, particularly, you know, the kind of the big longer acting ones like IUDs and stuff. They would have cost upwards of hundreds. And that obviously has been taken away and people have more access to it. So I think that extending it to whoever else we can give it access to is a good thing in my eyes.
The fact is, though, that 16-year-olds are under the age of consent. And some people kind of focus in on that today and suggest that you know, the state on the one hand shouldn't be saying you cannot be having sex or you should not be having sex before the age of 17. And at the same time, some will describe this as facilitating it.
Yeah, and I think that like on paper, it's easy to say that. But like, first of all, and I think Stephen Donnelly made this point that the age of consent, like the age for medical consent is 16. So a 16-year-old can access a GP without a parent. They can go in and access termination without a parent. But they can't access free contraception without a parent, you know, at that point at 16. And I think it's kind of obviously it comes back. A lot of the times argument was brought up during Repeal the Eighth when they said that access to abortion was just going to facilitate more abortions. But the thing is that outlawing abortion and outlawing free contraception in that way is not going to stop people having sex. It just makes them do it in a less safe way. It's not going, you know, 16-year-olds, you know, are not having sex because they can't access the pill. They're probably doing it anyway, but some of them without having access to it anyway. And so all you're doing by allowing them to have access to a free contraception scheme is saying, well, if you're going to be doing it, do it in a way that, you know, gives you back some agency and gives you a bit more control over the situation.
Luke Silk is with us as well in studio. Luke is AIM2's spokesperson for children and equality. Luke, you're welcome to the show. Do you think this is a good move by the Minister for Health?
No, I don't think it's a good proposal. I do believe that underage sex is harmful and damaging for children or minors. I also think it's kind of a deflection tactic from the minister. You know, today is the first day of the Dáil's term. When there's so many other pressing issues, I think that the public would like to see addressed by Stephen Donnelly. You know, one thing that we're campaigning for is free bus tickets to school for the 4,500 homeless children in the state. The government is very slow to move on that one, but, you know, free condoms are on the way. I do think it also sends out a very confusing message on the issue of consent. Giving free contraceptives to children or minors who have not reached the age of consent very much suggests to me that the age of consent is a law which shouldn't be respected, that it's, you know, nearly a rule that you're kind of supposed to break. So I do think there's a lot of issues with it, and I think it's a deeply flawed...
What about Saoirse's point that regardless of what the age of consent is, a lot of 16-year-olds and even younger will be having sex anyway, and what this does, it ensures that they can do it in a safe way, or a safer way?
Well, I think the messaging of it is that it's promoting underage sex. So it's basically the state saying that children under the age of consent can consent. And I don't particularly buy the arguments that, oh, it's happening anyway. I mean, you could say that about any crime or anything that a law prohibits. You know, murders are happening anyway and things like that. But I do think there's, you know, significant emotional and mental health consequences to sexual activity among minors. So I think that children are not emotionally ready for the impacts and possible consequences of sexual activity. And, you know, we've seen from the studies that sex underage among children can lead to strong feelings of regret or guilt.
And do you think that by making contraception more available to people under the age of 17, that it will increase the numbers having sex below that age?
I think so. And I think it will have an impact on things like, you know, peer pressure and stuff like that among kids. You know, and yeah, like we have a Fianna Fáil minister saying on one hand that a young person under the age of 17 is not legally old enough to consent to a sexual act, but they'll provide them with free contraceptives. And so I think it is dangerous. And I think it will lead to an increase and a normalisation of it. And I think the plan is poorly thought out in that there should be other measures there. So issues like if you were reading any of the coverage of the Anna Kriegel case, for example, and the things that the Gardaí found in the search history of Boyer's phone and stuff like that, the access to pornography, the attitudes that children or minors have to sex and how that would play out. I think you need to address those issues before, you know, we talk about free contraception.
But I think it's important to recognise that when you talk about contraception, you're talking about two very different, I suppose, use cases for contraception. On one hand, you have the fact that, yes, it's used to prevent pregnancy or to prevent conception and to give people, you know, access to, you know, all of that. But on the other side, you have people that are using contraception for things like they're, you know, they might have acne or they have painful periods or they have irregular periods or lengthy periods. Like when I was 14, 15, 16, myself and most of my friends were on the pill. Was I having sex? Absolutely not. And what I was on it for is because I had particularly bad skin. I had really bad acne. And the only thing that was going to work was going on the pill. I had friends that were on it because their periods were, you know, they were so painful. They were throwing up. They were missing school. Mm. Being on contraception allowed them to be able to continue to go to school on those days, to be comfortable or slightly more comfortable. And, you know, I think about those years that I was on the pill. Like I was on contraception. My mum was paying for it as a single mother with two other children to worry about. And all you're doing in allowing a 16-year-old access to this, yes, okay, there's the argument you made that somebody will think that they now can have sex because they're allowed access to contraception. But moreover, what you're doing is just helping people economically, which is obviously a huge thing. And you also have the fact that, like, you know...
But all those people who are on it for reasons other than having sex, you could roll out a scheme that allows them to access it for free at an earlier age.
But what's to stop a teenager saying, I'm on it because my periods are regular, when actually they're having sex? You know, I think that's a tricky area where you can't really...
Lie to a doctor.
I would never lie to a GP. But no, like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, there's a number of other reasons people are on contraception, and to completely outlaw it does little to help anybody. And I think particularly when you think about, like, you know, obviously a big... For a number of decades, Ireland has had an atrocious history of not dealing with young pregnant people very well. We locked them up, we put them away, we put, you know, looked down on them, we did all these horrible things. And now that we're kind of moving forward in a way that wants to help prevent young people from falling pregnant before they might be ready, it's met with similar pushback of saying, well, then there, you know, that there's all these other circumstances that can go against that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, somebody who was at risk of being a young mother, you know, it's not to say that not being allowed to buy the pill was the problem. It might have been not being able to afford the pill was the problem. You know, it's one of those things that I think it's very easy to pinpoint one or two people. But I think a blanket extension of the scheme can only really benefit people in the long run.
Luke, are you guilty of seeing the world as you want it to be, not as it is?
No, I don't think so. I think our concerns with, for a start, I do think it's a very vague proposal. I do think, you know, it hasn't been thought out. The homework hasn't been done on it. It's a matter that shouldn't just emerge the first week of the Dáil, you know, a couple of weeks before the budget. It's something that really needs to be thrashed out properly. Another area, you know, where we in Aintu have focused a lot is on the whole issue of human trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children. So I think there needs to be kind of, you know, if a child presents to a GP pregnant or with an STI or something like that, there has to be some sort of process in place to determine if that child is a victim of sexual abuse. So I'd like to see the detail in the minister's plan. And as well as that, we seem to be working off an assumption that this will be rolled out through the GP system. But I don't think the minister has explicitly said this. His kind of language has, I suppose, pointed towards that direction. But, you know, could we see this proposal in reality looking like a 16-year-old getting free contraception over the counter in a supermarket? And what efforts will be made to ensure that the child seeking access to contraception is not a victim of sexual
abuse? Politicians would have a history of announcing things without consulting the relevant bodies. In fairness, that's a fair point. But, I mean, there's no evidence to support the idea that a majority of 16-year-olds who are having sex against their will, is there?
No, but I do think there is a rise in the rate of sexual assault of children. I think there's, you know, even people under the age of 16 who are having sex with other people under the age of 16. I think there's, I have seen the studies that show, you know, that there's a rate of regret there. But we definitely have a rise in child sexual exploitation. I mean, there was a report out today where, you know, it showed that there was a 20% increase in the rate of human trafficking over the past 3 years. Yeah. And we know that the primary form of human trafficking...
You know, what has that got to do with the price of a bag of chips, as someone would say?
well, the primary form of human trafficking in Ireland would be the sexual exploitation of children. We have a huge problem in terms of the sexual exploitation of children in this country. That's getting worse and worse again.
But you think that 16-year-olds being able to get the pill for free would make it worse?
No, but I would like to see the detail on will they be asked questions, you know, if they're seeking access to contraception.
Yeah, I think like anyone who's ever tried to buy the morning after pill can tell you there is about 1,000 questions you'll be asked. So certainly in that regard, there's definitely almost too much questioning, I would argue, in some facets of it. But I do think that it's unfair to say that, and not unfair, but I think it's maybe reductive to say that you have to, you know, that allowing contraception for people under the age of consent just means that they won't talk about it if they have been assaulted or, God forbid, something has happened. What you're doing is just further stigmatizing a group and telling them that something is wrong and shameful and they can't talk about it. Whereas, you know, things like, you know, increasingly more informative sex education and things like free contraception and opening up that dialogue a little bit more means that young people are then coming to the table more able to discuss things that have happened or that are happening or that they're afraid of happening. And therefore, it hopefully means that if they were faced with that, they are able, they have the language and the tools to be able to address it.
Yeah, well, I would get back to the point that, you know, a quarter of young people express regret over the timing of the first time that they had sex. And it was substantially higher among young women. So I do think we need to, you know, children are receiving sex education from their peers rather than from their teachers or their parents. So I do agree with a lot of what you're saying in relation to sex education and having that open conversation, particularly with parents. Mm-hmm. It's so much better having these conversations with parents than it would be with your friends and getting that level of kind of misinformation and rumour and learning about life that way. So I would love to see, you know, if that background work was done first before we go, you know, rolling this scheme out and encouraging.
Keith here from Lewis Jewelers. It's a new year and time for you to get some new cash for all your old, unwanted jewelry. We are your trusted store to turn those items into immediate cash. Stop in today.